It's good to be together again today, and when we left off last time, I had laid down an outline for this series on Thanksgiving week on the Apostle Paul, who I have called the Praying Apostle. The Apostle Paul was the Praying Apostle, and we're going to be looking at his prayers and about what he teaches us about prayer all week. I am so thankful for him, as are many of you, because he has been for us such a dynamic teacher of the truth of who God is. And, as I also said yesterday, we're helped tremendously in our study by one of my mentors, A.W. Pink, who has written this very insightful book on Paul, the title of which is Gleanings from Paul, The Prayers of the Apostle. Gleanings from Paul, The Prayers of the Apostle by A.W. Pink. What I am sharing with you is my own words, but I'm following Pink closely in the introduction to his book, the best book outside of the Bible that I have read on St. Paul. Let me first remind you of the outline, and then I'll complete part one before jumping into part two. First, Paul is the praying apostle. We started this yesterday and we'll finish in a moment. Second, Paul's prayers are mingled with his instructions. Third, Paul's prayers are brief. Fourth, Paul prays to God the Father. And fifth, Paul and the apostles do not pray for what is temporal, but for what is eternal. Sixth, Paul did not pray for God to save the world from sin as much as for his fellow believers and the churches. Now, this is our working outline, and it is available on Facebook. God is, W-E-Z-E, that's God is, W-E-Z-E on Facebook, or I can send this to you if you write to me today, and my addresses will be given a little bit later. Let's continue with my first insight. Paul is the praying apostle. Listen to Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 11. This is Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 11. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Did you hear what this man Saul, who is Paul, I told you about his names last time, is doing? This is just after his conversion from killing Christians to becoming a Christian himself, and he is praying. Prayer. That marks the apostle's life. He started his followership of Christ Jesus in prayer, and he went on to become a consistent man of prayer. Would you be willing to consider with me today that it is by his prayers that we should know Paul? Of course, Paul was the world's greatest missionary, I believe ever. There are the many churches that he planted, that he started. And of course, there is Paul's theology, all that he teaches us about who God is. And there is his dynamic and spiritually fruitful preaching. Or there is his writing. Do you know that God chose and used Paul to write twice as many epistles as all of the other apostles combined? Twice as many epistles as all the other apostles combined. An epistle is a letter, and these letters are included in our Bibles. But despite all that, which is remarkable, it is by his prayers that perhaps he should be best known. He has 8 times as many prayers in his letters as in all of the other New Testament epistles. 8 times as many. Paul prayed, and he prayed fruitfully and continually. From the very point of his conversion in Acts chapter 9, verse 11, all the way to the end of his life in Rome, he is the praying apostle. Did you know this about Paul? Now let's move into my second insight. And following closely my outline, we learn that Paul's prayers are mingled with his instructions. Paul's prayers are mingled with his instructions. It is very true. When you read the Apostle Paul from now on, you can watch for how he mingles together his prayers with his apostolic authority to give us instruction, teaching on being Christ's obedient slaves. His prayers are tucked into his epistles in ways that we sometimes miss the fact that it is a prayer at all. He could be teaching one moment and praying the next, and often we miss the exchange. Let me give you an example of this. Turn with me now, if you can, in your New Testament to Ephesians chapter 3. This is Ephesians chapter 3. In the Bible's New Testament, we have Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So Ephesians is in between Galatians and Philippians. Paul wrote all of these epistles and these letters. And I want to read to you beginning in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 down to verse 19. This is Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. That Jesus would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now that is an earful, and it was Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. I would encourage you to read that later on your own, because that's a lot to take in. I understand that. That's a lot to take in. And to be certain, Paul is teaching the Ephesians here. He is teaching about who God is through his Holy Spirit and in his Son, Jesus Christ. He wants the Ephesians to know that they are strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit, and Christ dwells in them through faith. They are rooted and grounded in love such that they can comprehend the love of Christ, the breadth, length, height, and depth, and be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now that's teaching, friends. In these four verses, there are many sermons. As a preacher, I am tempted to launch into one of them right now. But let me stay focused. Did you know that this is a prayer? Oh yes, here the Apostle Paul is praying. And how do I know that? Well, look back at verse 14, or simply listen to the reading. I did not read that verse on purpose. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." Bow my knees. Now, when we study the text carefully, we learn that Paul is not using the bowing of his knees as the only suitable posture for prayer. He is not saying that God only hears the prayers of a Christian who bows his or her knees when in prayer. Rather, the apostle writes here about showing proper reverence and respect and submission to God. And that is definitely the proper attitude that we must have in our souls always. And when we pray, we submit ourselves to God in reverence and respect. And the reason I did not read verse 14 of Ephesians 3 earlier is because I want to highlight for you how easy it is to miss that Paul is praying while he teaches and teaching while he prays. His prayers are mingled with his instructions. We see this in Ephesians chapter 3. And you might think, wait, can you give that to me again? Or, I wish I wasn't driving so I could have opened my Bible and followed along more closely by seeing that in the actual text. Well, I've got good news for you. Just get on the WEZ website and download today's podcast free of charge. That's 590amtheword.com. 590amtheword.com and click podcast at the top of the homepage where you will find a link to God Is. Open your Bible and study the passage alongside me tonight or this weekend as time permits. 590amtheword.com, click podcast, and then God Is will be waiting for you. And before we come to the finish line today, as I complete this second insight into the life of the praying Apostle Paul, I want to say something to those of you who attend various churches, or those of you looking for a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Perhaps you do not go to church, but you'd like to find one soon. Good. And what you'll want to do is find a church where the pastor and other spiritual leaders pray for you. You want to make certain the spiritual oversight and care you receive is bathed in prayer. Let me show you what I mean. Again, as always, from the Bible. And I'll add my personal experience as a pastor. All pastors are commanded by God in the Bible to preach the Word. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with great patience and instruction. I hope that I have faithfully done that for the people in my church, but I am also commanded to pray for the people of God who are under my care. I want to read to you from Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. This is another of Paul's letters. It's also in the New Testament. So you have Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians is between Philippians and 1 Thessalonians. And I have something else that I want you to see and highlight in your Bible if you are able to get that open in front of you. I'll read Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12 in a moment, but first, a little bit of background. As Paul ends this letter, he mentions the name of a man, Epaphras. And who was Epaphras? According to Colossians 1 verse 7, he is the one who founded the church at Colossae. Paul had never been there, says Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1. And listen for what Paul says of their pastor, their church planter, the man who started the church at Colossae. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. Listen to that. Epaphras, who has been always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers. Can I, as a pastor, say that I have always labored earnestly in my prayers for my congregation? I hope that this is true of me. Can your pastor and other spiritual leaders say that they have done this for you? Trust me, friends, you want to be in a church, a Christian community that does what Epaphras did for the people of God at Colossae. He prayed earnestly for them. Paul the Apostle commended Epaphras for his prayers because Paul himself is the praying apostle. He knew what it meant to pray for the people of God. And when you come back tomorrow, we will learn much more about this praying apostle, a man we are thankful for on Thanksgiving week. So come right back here tomorrow for more of God Is.